When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If you are African-American, start getting your mammograms earlier than 40.
When I mentioned it to her, I was like, man, they say I got to get ultrasound. And I'm thinking that is the last thing I'm thinking of, that it could possibly be breast cancer. You don't really focus on the recovery part, because there is a recovery. It's a difference between rest and recovery. Like, you rest and you start feeling good, but there's still also a mental piece that I feel like goes into that recovery piece that a lot of people don't focus on.
And Angie said, I can't let you move back in this house like this. And initially, I'm like, what you mean? Ain't nothing wrong with my house. You know, it's like, she was like, no, nothing's wrong with your house. She said, but it's not peaceful. And she was like, I still feel like the grieving spirit in your house. So this house needs to be cleaned out.
Welcome back to Mama's on the Move 2.0, episode number 2. I am Keisha.
And I am Brandy.
So this episode is something that is near and dear to both of us. I hope that people leave our episode encouraged, enlightened, educated some, and I think most of all encouraged. And I think that I shared a lot in my journey videos, so I don't have to go into a whole lot of details. People know I was diagnosed on Good Friday 2022, and you were?
I was diagnosed May 9th, 2023, this year.
Right. So another thing that kind of bonds us.
Yeah.
This has been kind of weird, all right?
I know.
A little different.
It's weird because you and I will have a lunch date, you know, dinner date. We will come dressed in the same color scheme.
Exactly.
Very similar. Like, it is weird.
It is. It's very bizarre.
Yeah.
Because literally we did a photo shoot back in 2021.
Yes.
And we did not talk to each other about what either of us were wearing.
At all.
Because we were planning to relaunch back then, September 2021 or
yes.
something.
Yes.
We did two or three outfits.
We did three looks.
And literally, we had the exact same colors and style for each look. It was crazy.
One was she didn't tell us. Our photographer didn't tell us what to wear. She said, come as you are.
Right.
One was you know, a cheetah kind of
right animal print thing.
Yeah, which we didn't talk about.
We did
Both
not
of us
talk
brought
about
an animal print.
Yep.
We also brought like a nude kind of or beige earth tone. Mm-hmm. And the other one was the pink.
What's the pink? Which is your favorite color? That what do you call that color pink?
Nude,
you're wearing
blush.
That blush.
Yeah.
And we had that, which I don't even really like blush.
Yeah. Because you had it that day.
And I had it. So it's just weird the way so many things in our lives have been like that. And now we can count breast cancer survivors.
Yeah.
As that as well. And my journey was long and arduous because by not getting that mammogram in 2021, I didn't get it in 2020, I'm sorry, because of the year of the pandemic, and I didn't get it until the bottom of 2021, like right before Christmas. I feel like that is what my cancer progressed more, which caused me from I had to have a double mastectomy. Mm-hmm. And so from that, then 3 months later, it was the reconstruction, and then 3 months after that, or maybe it wasn't quite 3 months, and I had a hip replacement. Because I don't know if most people know, I was walking with my limp became more and more severe over like the last couple of years or whatever. And so 2022 was a long year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a long year. But what I hope people get out of us is, again, just the same thing it's kind of like always been, is that you just kind of have to keep going.
Yeah.
But that there are lessons in everything that we go through. I don't want people to discount the importance of what you get when life happens. You know what I mean? Because like you said, you've transitioned from 7 days a week, all the ways on, working, to what you said in episode 1, is a softer life for you now.
So yes, I was diagnosed May of this year, and started out by, I got a mammogram in February, mm-hmm. and they said my breast tissue was dense, so that they wanted me to get an ultrasound. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and we always defer to Renee, who's our, you know, mm-hmm. in-house mm-hmm. doctor slash PA.
Right.
So when I mentioned it to her, I was like, man, they said I got to get ultrasound. And I'm thinking, that is the last thing I'm thinking of, right, that it could possibly be breast cancer. But she said, oh, no, a lot of Black women have dense breast tissue.
Yep, I learned that
so
as
that's
well.
Very, very common. So she said, you have nothing to worry about. So, okay, I go and get my ultrasound. My ultrasound comes back, and they said, oh, well, we want you to get now an MRI. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, just extra precaution. So then I get the MRI, and they say, oh, the MRI reveals that we now need to get a biopsy. Mm-hmm. So I'm still not thinking it could be that. I'm just thinking they're taking extra precaution, mm-hmm. which is, mm-hmm. I guess, good, right? Mm-hmm. So the biopsy then revealed, I got the biopsy on May 8th. They said that it would take a week to get the results, mm-hmm. right? I get a MyChart message the very next day. Mm-hmm. The MyChart message has terminology that I'm not familiar with. Mm-hmm. So I take a screenshot, and I'm in between showings. I take a screenshot, I send it to Renee, mm-hmm. and I send it to our other line sister who is an OB-GYN, KC. And I said, does this mean I'm good? Mm-hmm. I sent them the message. I said, does this mean I'm good? Mm-hmm. KC called me immediately, mm-hmm. and she said, no, Brandy, you have DCIS in C2. So I had the earliest stage. If there's a poster child of somebody that should get cancer, it would be me, because it was the earliest stage, mm-hmm. and it had not spread. Mm-hmm. So it was in my breast tissue. Mm-hmm. So, at that point we had to figure out what the next steps were. I had to meet with a breast specialist and an oncologist, it was determined that I needed to get a lumpectomy and reconstructive surgery. Mm-hmm. So I got the lumpectomy in July and reconstructive surgery. And it's what? September? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it was a 2-month healing process and pretty much stepping away from my business and just doing some soul searching and just recovery. And it's so funny because we had this conversation, Keisha, where when you start feeling good, mm-hmm. you just think, okay, let me just start back doing what I normally do. Mm-hmm. But you don't really focus on the recovery part, because mm-hmm. there is a recovery. It's a difference between rest and recovery. Like, you rest and you start feeling good, but there's still also a mental piece that I feel like goes into that recovery piece mm-hmm. that a lot of people don't focus on. Mm-hmm. And I was just so in like, oh, I got to get back to it mode, that I feel like I was kind of jumping a gun and doing things a little too soon. Mm-hmm. And it made me kind of revamp and like, okay, what do you want your life to look like? Mm-hmm. You don't, like, you have to take this for what it is. Like, there's no history of breast cancer in your family, right? So, you know, you lead a very stressful lifestyle mm-hmm. between running a super high demanding, crazy business. You know, you're married, you have a big family, which is also demanding. Like, how are you going to make some changes coming out of this? Mm-hmm. Like, are you going to go right back into what you were doing before? And so I had to really kind of evaluate that and say, no, I'm not. Mm-hmm. So I said, I'm going to make some changes. I'm not going to work weekends. My weekends are my own. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pull back on taking calls after a certain hour. I'm going to focus on doing things that I know bring me joy and bring me a sense of peace and gratitude, which is gardening and focusing on my home. So I've been doing a lot of that. And I think that pulling back has also allowed me to be like, you know what? You don't have to, like, it's okay to transition to be in a different space. Like, what you were in 2022, you know, the top dog, the big agent, like, it's okay to shift to being who you are in this season. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be a different person in this season. Mm-hmm. So I'm exploring other opportunities. You know, what we're doing and bringing back Mamas on the Move, I feel mm-hmm. like is essential and important for us. It's important for other women. But also feel like, you know what? This is what we owed ourselves, mm-hmm. which we committed to years and years ago, which mm-hmm. we said, you know what? God connected us for a reason. And I feel like, okay, as part of what He wants His will for our lives, I feel like this is a part of it, mm-hmm. you know? So I feel like that's going to give me more time to even focus on this mm-hmm. if I pull back from other things. Because at the end of the day, we are still, you are Keisha and I'm Brandy, And if we don't devote more time to focusing on our health and wellness, then who are we to anybody else?
Right. Daddy, right. We have to put ourselves
first. We got to put ourselves first.
Absolutely.
And that was the biggest aha for me in all of this, is to pull back and just kind of do things a little different in this new season.
I think for me it was because I moved in with Angie and Dutch in May of last year, and I was there until the week before Thanksgiving. So I had a couple of little times where I came back to get more stuff or whatever. But I think that one was we have to be fiscally responsible, because mm-hmm. I had no idea that I would have to be out of work like that.
Yeah.
Two, and I didn't miss a beat, thank God, you know, financially. And two, you have to be in service to others, because you never know. And not because you're going to need somebody to help you, but I had made so many deposits that I was never short on help.
That's right.
And support. You get what I'm saying? Because I had made enough deposits into other people. So I think that's an important message that I want people to understand too. And lastly, I feel like, okay, this is another thing. Okay, God, what is it that you're trying to tell me? Because you done already tested me a whole lot of times. And I feel like I kind of want to not take no more tests like this, you know, but let me tell you what I feel like was like a real aha moment for me. So one day Angie and I came over here. Well, it was two. One was when we were in the kitchen and I still had the drains and all this stuff. And I talked about it in, I think, the second episode. My second video that I dropped. But we were in the kitchen like 1 o'clock in the morning, and I was still in a lot of pain because I was probably 3 weeks out of the double mastectomy. And I was telling her I was going to go home. It was time for me to go home. And she looked at me and she said, well, you grown. Ain't nothing I can, you know. But let me tell you a story. So she goes on to tell me this story about how she, you know, she grew up with her auntie. Now they was really into the church and so on and so forth. And the way she came to something that said, the way they are kind of like, they church. But I feel like I control my life, not God. Mm. So she had a time where she didn't believe in God. Yeah. And I was shocked. I was like, what?
What?
And she said, yeah, she said, I did. She said, and everything I wanted, and I set a goal, I achieved it. So in my mind, I felt like I was, you know, this is what she's saying, in control of things. She said, until God took my whole family.
Mm.
And, you know, Kim, who was y'all's, you know, your soror, you and Renee's from down in Georgia, what happened with Kim, and then her mom died not long after that from cancer, because just this loss and the grief of her child. She just never recovered from that. And Minka was her mother's name, because I know you think about my niece Minka, but Minka was her mother's name, and she told her that, you know, let me go. And I told, and Angie said, so I'm sharing that story with you to say, you have gone through a lot. She was like, we all acknowledge you've been through a lot, but it's clear that God is trying to tell you something. It's a message he's trying to get to you. And until you receive it and honor what he's trying to tell you, he's just going to keep upping the ante in your life.
Mm.
And so that was like okay. And the second one was when she came here one time for me to get some clothes. No, it was time for me to move back. And I said, okay, well, you know, I'm good. Miss Vilma was still coming to clean. And Angie said, I can't let you move back in this house like this. And initially, I'm like, what you mean? Ain't nothing wrong with my house. You know, it's like, she was like, no, nothing's wrong with your house. She said, but it's not peaceful. And it's not, I don't feel happiness when I come in your home. And so I'm still offended. Like, well, what you saying, Angie? Like, what do you mean? And she was like, your house is still, I still feel like the grieving spirit in your house. Mm. So this house needs to be cleaned out. And so I'm kind of like, okay. So she took charge, got the organizer over and everything like that. So the first day was hard because she was trying to throw away all Daryl's stuff.
Oh, wow.
And all of his clothes and stuff had been gone. But it was like, I didn't even realize how much of his stuff was still here.
Wow.
And my mama's. And so she, you know, it took about 2 weeks because it was very emotional for me to tell Angie to take the story. She said one time she pulled out some CD, some DVDs, and I was like, no, you put that back. You know, she was like, okay, I'm putting them back over here.
Mm-hmm.
But what I didn't realize that, you know, with all love and respect, having all of that energy from people who are no longer here in my home was blocking what God had for me. And even the way the sofas were at the time, they were this way. So it was blocking anything that may have tried to come in my home that was people. And when I tell you, that's what made me, that encouraged me to redo the living room, dining room, stuff like that. But it was like, that happened in November. The first guy that I dated briefly, I met in January. And then I met my guy that I'm dating now, right after that, like in March. But I truly believe there were channels opened up when I cleared out the old. It made room for the new. I really believe that. And I could not see that living in this house. So even though it was very drastic, you know, having to, and to have somebody that loves you enough to let you live with them, girl, for that amount of time. And you came to visit, you know how loving they are and supportive and just good people. But me trying to come home, and twice she was like, I'm just not at peace with you leaving right now. Mm. I'm just not at peace. I don't feel like, and then when she came here, in the same way the person I had a meeting with a couple of weeks ago said, I could only receive that from you. I think I can only receive that from Angie because I know her heart. We go back to sixth grade.
Yeah.
And I just know how she's just, her and Dutch are just special people. They're just special people. And if you, I wish that everybody could have an Angie and a Dutch, but they loved, I mean, I'm telling you, like, she prayed over the pillow I was going to sleep on for weeks before I got there. She prayed and asked our mothers to come together in the helping of the healing of me. Like, it was just, jeez. And we were sitting on the patio, which, you know, that's where I always sat for hours a day, sat on the patio. And when me and Angie sat there, when I first got there, maybe like day three, the first couple of days, you're just kind of out of it. A red bird just came and sat right in front of me and Angie and stayed on the balcony. And I was like, it's got to be our mom. Like, that's what we felt. And we both just kind of got like, but it was just that whole thing, the whole experience of, you know, I had to put pride aside because I had to have help, you know? And so I think those were my two aha moments. It's just like community, family, because I believe God, I know for sure, God sends you your people.
Yeah.
So that's why I always tell people, like, you know, some people like, well, I don't have my mom wasn't here. God will send you another mother. It may not be the one who gave birth to you, but if that person is not able to be there for you the way that you deserve, he will send you your people. I firmly believe that, but you also have to make deposits.
Yeah.
We got a lot of wide receivers out there. I'm learning football because Brian loves football. So we got a lot of wide receivers out there.
That's a good analogy.
You know what I'm saying? We got a lot of people who love to catch, but they ain't never throwing. That's the back guy.
Yeah, the quarterback.
Quarterback. Mm-hmm. So we need more wide receivers. We got a lot of quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Quarterback throw. Yeah.
And what a gift. What a gift Angie and Dutch were to you, and you know, and your tribe. You know, you always make mention of your tribe, and I'm grateful to be a part of that tribe. And you know, it was we would have a time over there.
Oh yeah,
you know, coming to visit you. Yeah, we would have some great times.
Yeah,
and I'm you know, and I'm also I feel like this experience for me, I've been on like a little joy cloud, and my joy cloud comes from just being grateful, one, for the fact that it was caught so early. Grateful, two, for my support system. My husband was right there. My mother was right there. You know, every day she came over. Thank God my mama lives in our backyard, right? So how beautiful was that setup? You know, my husband had to work. So she
y'all built her a house. She has a tight house. She don't live in the backyard. Like, listen, okay, Brandy ain't, you know, them Lifetime, it ain't no Lifetime movie stuff going on.
Let me clarify. My husband built my mama a house in our backyard. Okay. Right. She has a tiny house in our backyard. So she lives, you know, just a few feet away. She came over every morning, helped, you know, feed me, change my drains, all that stuff. My husband would help too. And, you know, just to feel loved and supported, you know, and not only by them, by my children, by my friends, you know, y'all were there. Y'all came over the night before and prayed with me. Like, you know, I'm just grateful. I'm grateful to be in a position to have that kind of a support system because I don't know what it looks like to not, I'm afraid, like for a woman who doesn't, who's facing something that's life altering, who doesn't have the right support system.
Yeah.
And as I'm learning, you know, as I'm getting into this journey and connecting with people like through the Susan G. Komen Foundation, you know, there are people who don't have the resources and support that they need, you know, and even learning that 45%, that Black women have a 45% chance, higher chance of dying from breast cancer than our white counterparts.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's simply because of a lack of
economics. Yeah.
But the thing is, if there's more awareness surrounding it,
yes,
there are resources available.
There are.
You know, for women who think they can't afford to go and get a mammogram, there are free resources out there, but they just don't know, you know?
And a lot of times it's fear. Like, I've had a lot of women, as I'm sure you have, I had one to text me, DM me yesterday, I went and got my mammogram, I just wanted to let you know and everything is good, you know, because they, you know, when you see people, same thing I said about my widowhood journey. When I saw you, it encouraged me. When they see, you see women that look like you, it gives you more encouragement, inspiration, information to know that it's okay. One of the things, I learned this because Angie was my caregiver throughout. She went to every doctor's appointment with me. And about 6 weeks in, the lady said, oh, y'all still, you still here with her? And I said, well, where is she supposed to be? Mm-hmm. And she said, oh, you would be surprised. She said, I have patients that try to have to Uber home. I said, after having a double massage, are you kidding me? I said, just like you said, even the emotional, like the science took care of the healing, but it was God and my family, my circle, my tribe. And started with, cause you imagine, you are empty nesters. They have this fabulous condo that I sold them overlooking the city. And all of a sudden, here I come. And I never thought when I sold in that house, you know, that I would have to be there. And I mean, it changes your household when people live with you.
Oh, yeah, you know,
but they never made me feel like I wasn't unwelcome. And you know, I was calling them mom and dad. And, you know, they even said, they'd be like, the baby this, the baby that. It was so funny. Like, you know.
They are hilarious.
They are so funny. Yes. So, you know, even the other day I called them. I said, Defects been searching around because y'all ain't checked on y'all baby. Baby out here just living life, doing everything.
The grown baby.
But it's saddened me. Like, I'm more emotional because I'm in menopause. That's a whole nother subject.
Oh, I'm perimenopause, so we there.
Girl. Yeah. So it's like, that hurt my heart to know that there, to think about, you know, my brother was right there. Like, when I woke up, my brother was in the bed in the room sleep, like, with me. Like, I never was left alone. And I cannot imagine a woman having to go home and try to figure this out. I can't even imagine that. Yeah. So it's like, there's something in my mind that I'm working on for that, because I just... It's just in America. Yeah. It's just crazy to me. But you're right. There are a lot of resources, and a lot of women don't want to go because they don't want to know.
Yeah,
it's like that comedian said a long time ago. It ain't being sick to kill you. It's finding out you got it.
Say that
a lot, because the stress. Because remember that wait period we talked about.
Yeah.
But see, yours came. Now see, I don't like the fact that they sent in my chart. I think that is so
horrible.
Cold. Like that is cold, cold, cold. My doctor would never.
And they said you might get the my chart before you get the call. But
why would you set it up that way? That is so inhumane to me.
And I asked Renee about that. I said, Renee, but she said, that's how the system is now.
Well, that might be their system. But Dr. Jennifer Amerson, girl, I'm going to give you a shot. Because, baby, she called me. It was her daddy's 90th birthday. And when she got them results, she wasn't even in the office. Thank you, Dr. Amerson, for having the kindness to still have that human touch. No shade against, you know, because that's
true,
obviously. Yeah. But I just think Dr. Amerson was going that extra step of the way. That's my girl. She called me.
And that's the way it should be, Keisha.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the way it should be. Mm-hmm. You know, I was at this point where I got my biopsy through Emory.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, you know, I was not being seen by a breast doctor at the time. I was just being seen by my
OB.
My OB.
Mm-hmm. That's
so, but the call should have come from my OB.
Mm.
Who did you get your call from?
I got mine from my breast specialist, Dr. Amerson, a breast specialist.
Yeah, but see, I guess because I was just at the biopsy stage, so I hadn't been assigned, you know, it wasn't determined that I had it.
Well, so because remember, I had to get two. I had two of everything, two biopsies,
yeah,
two MRIs,
true.
Two.
Yeah, yeah.
So the first one, they did tell me that, you know, they but they still didn't tell me over the phone. They brought me in and then they referred me to Dr. Amerson.
Mm.
They never said, but I knew then, I'm like, so when I got to Dr. Amerson, she was like, some of the images she wanted to do everything within her office. So she made me get in, and I sat in her office and cried. Like, I can't go through this again.
Yeah.
I just went through this. And it took so long because remember, the timing of mine was right before Christmas.
Right.
So it was like two, because I was calling you. Yeah,
we
were in Houston. Yep, exactly.
We
were in Houston when we found out I had to do a double.
The,
remember?
That's right.
And I just broke down okay, I go from having a lumpectomy to not that to having an mastectomy. Now I got a bilateral. Now I have to have a double.
Yeah.
So I would remember, and I mean, you and Ashton, y'all were there. Yeah. Because I just broke down. Like, I just can't take one more thing. Like, one more thing. But I think because she maybe, but I'm telling you, that's a standard. Because another girlfriend of mine went to her. They call.
Yeah. Well, you know, that is a standard that I feel like that should be the standard.
I agree.
Unfortunately, it's not. And kudos to your doctor, but mm-hmm. that should be the standard. Because I agree. I found out in between showings, okay?
On an email.
On an email. And I had to show up to this property because my client was waiting on me. And I'm like, WTF, you know? Yeah. I'm like, WTF. And I also had to just tell them. I said, you know what? I just got a phone call. I got this an emergency situation I have to kind of deal with. Mm-hmm. And I left. And my husband came and met me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and we, you know, I had my little moment in the car and we talked it through. But I'm like, that ain't no way to find out.
I agree. That ain't no way to find out. Not through an email. But that takes away that to me means that. And I know it's unfortunate because now I've learned so many women are having breast cancer.
Yeah.
Like cancer. Period, yeah. You know,
and people that have no history of it too. Right. So it's like, now, yeah. You know, if your mother had it, if your auntie had it,
yeah.
If you know it's in your family, that's one thing. But to not have any history of it, like, what is it?
Yeah.
Is it
the food?
Environment? Is it food? It's lifestyle?
All, I think it's all of the above. I think it's environment. I think it's food. I think it's stress. I think it's all of the above. I don't know why it seems like black people, we always be more privy to get the stuff that ain't good for you. Why we don't get more wealth? Because we black, right? Like they do, because they, ooh. Anyway. So I started out with, they thought I was going to have, you can kind of speak to that because you actually had it.
A lumpectomy is where they remove the breast tissue that's cancerous.
Right. Okay.
So they go in and remove the breast tissue that's cancerous. But in doing that, they have to rearrange just to make sure, because they're taking a huge lump of tissue out. Mm-hmm. They have to make sure both breasts are going to be even, you mm-hmm. know.
Symmetrical,
so they have to do the reconstructive part. Mm-hmm. So that's where, and at the stage that I was at, you know, you don't necessarily, they suggest a lumpectomy, of course, and to reconstruct, mm-hmm. you know, but I wasn't at the stage where they would, because it hadn't spread, mm-hmm. right? Because mm-hmm. it was still, and I'm even getting still familiar with the, you have to learn so much. You mm-hmm. learn so much. But the, because it was just in my ducts, mm-hmm. in my ducts. So it didn't, it hadn't spread. So they could just focus on that one area. And then from my pathology report, because after you have the surgery, they send it off.
Right.
So that it can be screened and evaluated. So there's this test that they do. It's called Decision RT. The test tells you your likelihood of reoccurrence. So they say if your scores are under a certain number, mm-hmm. then you pretty much are in a great position. Mm-hmm. That score was a 3. So if you're under a 3, then your likelihood of reoccurrence is very little. Mm-hmm. My score was a 2.2. Mm-hmm. So what that meant was the percentage. So because initially they said that I was going to have to get radiation.
Right.
So I was going to have to go through 4 to 6 weeks of radiation, which I was not looking forward to, mm-hmm. you know? And of course I didn't even know this. There's a difference between radiation and chemo.
Oh yeah.
Yep. So, mm-hmm. but I didn't know that there's mm-hmm. a rate. So radiation is where you go in the, you know, they pretty much radiate that area mm-hmm. where the cancer was. And it's like a 15-20 minute process. And I would have had to have done that every day, 5 days a week, for 4 to 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. So that's what they predicted before my surgery. Mm-hmm. After my surgery, which is why I give praises to God, because I was praying that I would not, you know, that my scores would be low. Mm-hmm. And they were. Mm-hmm. I got the call that they were 2.2. I went in and saw my oncologist, and he gave me the option, because they still say, okay, you could do 5 days of radiation based mm-hmm. on where your scores came in. Mm-hmm. But they gave me the percentages. The percentage for me was, I have a 4% chance of reoccurrence if I don't do the radiation. Mm-hmm. I have a 5% chance of reoccurrence if I do the radiation. Mm-hmm. So it's a 1% chance. Mm-hmm. So I said, I'm going to roll the dice. Mm-hmm. I'm going to roll the dice on that. So I didn't want to have to go through the radiation. And I said, you know what? I serve a good God. I intend on making some lifestyle changes. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to just stand on that. Okay. So I didn't do the radiation.
Yeah, I had the double mastectomy. It's supposed to be a lumpectomy initially, and then they told me I would have to have a bilateral because it was more than the initial biopsy. Then when she did the first biopsy, I knew I was going to have a bilateral.
Yeah.
The second biopsy showed me that there was some over here, so that's when she said you need to just do the double. Because I did the double, I didn't have to have radiation.
Yeah.
So I was grateful that I didn't have to have radiation. But So that's kind of like our words, terminology to educate people.
Yeah.
You know, but the best case scenario, obviously, is to stay current with your mammograms.
Yes.
And I am encouraging, I'm saying this for my own, like my advice. If you are African-American, start getting your mammograms earlier than 40. Okay. I know that's what the masses are saying, but y'all got to know when they do these charts, these charts are not based on African Americans.
That's right.
They're based on the majority, which is white people,
yeah.
Right? So even down to BMIs, now I'm probably getting into a little something else because I'm a bigger girl, okay? But, you know, those charts will have you thinking you about to die because it's like, oh, your body fat percentage, your BMI, you need this, that, and other. But it's like you're not taking into any of the things that make up my DNA, mm-hmm. my ancestors. My grandmama had such and such.
Big bones.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And I know some of it is more than bones, okay? I can own that. I like biscuits. I had some biscuits with syrup and Popeyes just the other night. I had a hankering and some red beans and rice. But the point I'm making is those charts are not designed, they're not about us as a majority. So I'm encouraging strongly Black women to start getting their mammograms. I would say 30. I'm serious. Like, if not early. Literally, Keisha's little cousin was 22. She died of breast cancer a few months ago. Mm. 22. And there was no history.
Yeah.
So it's like you can't, I wouldn't necessarily, but you have to do it. You just have to.
And y'all
to.
Think about what, I mean, we live in a different day and age. You know, just please, the environment.
Yeah.
You know, the food that we're eating. You know, unless you're growing your own fruits and vegetables, we don't know.
We don't know.
We don't know what kind of chemicals they're putting in there.
We don't.
And the fact that so many people, like, have cancer now.
Oh, yeah.
Is an indication that there's this is
something.
Oh, there's something in the food and water here.
But
okay?
Not only that, what would you say? You said there's what would you say? Because it was something I was going to tag on. You said there's an indication that there's something bigger.
Something
big,
yeah.
Yeah.
The food, water,
yeah.
Social, I mean, environment, stress.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, because I also got high blood pressure, was diagnosed with high blood pressure last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I can absolutely, that is some genetic to that too. My both of my parents have it,
mm-hmm.
but they didn't get it until they were a little older.
Mm-hmm.
Like I got it in my 40s, right?
The job.
But I look
career.
At my lifestyle.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, my lifestyle, this
half
stressful,
sleeping.
Demanding job,
mm-hmm.
you know, again, my commitment with my family,
mm-hmm.
raising young adults, like that's stress.
Mm-hmm.
It's stress.
I agree.
So we have to find a way to incorporate more health and wellness into whether it's, you know, now I walk more. I walk with my dog. Y'all know my dog, Beanie. Shout out
mm-hmm.
to Beanie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I walk more with her more often, you know, and I gotta work my way. I'm a former athlete, but I don't do all the stuff I used to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really have a desire to mm-hmm. work out at that level, but I do want to incorporate getting my heart rate up enough to where I know it makes a difference.
Right.
Right. Drinking more water. Drinking less.
Mm-hmm.
We're in an industry where
mm-hmm.
that was Stretch. Our go-to, honey.
Yep.
We would meet at Houston's 2-3 times a week,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to have some cocktails.
Yep. That's
right?
Another thing. I cut back significantly.
I had to cut back.
Yeah.
I had to cut back my drinking. If you uh-huh. read, and I researched more and more, that once you get a diagnosis like this, you're going to learn some stuff, right? So I just started reading that, you know, alcohol consumption, too much of it,
mm-hmm.
it's just not good for you.
Mm-hmm.
And as realtors, we turn to that. We can't turn to that as much as we
mm-hmm.
do. It can't
mm-hmm.
be our crutch.
Mm-hmm.
And even I learned that my birth control pills that I was taking, I could no longer take those anymore,
mm-hmm.
you know? So because they, the type of cancer I had was, it was hormone receptor positive.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Hormone receptor positive. So I can't take anything hormonal now. So I had to change. I had to get an IUD.
Ooh, girl.
Yeah.
You can't take nothing hormonal. So
nothing
when you get
hormonal.
Full in menopause, you're going to have
girl.
To.
Girl. And I'm getting there. I'm not there yet. So it's like these are things that I'll have to, you know, I have to do things completely different now, you
mm-hmm.
know,
mm-hmm.
based on this diagnosis.
Yeah, as y'all can see, Brandy did a lot of more research than I did. I didn't want to go down the rabbit hole so much because when I did start doing it, it started to scare me.
Yeah.
So I had to pull up from Googling, okay?
No, but real talk, if you don't take your health, like if you don't take accountability for your health, my doctors didn't tell me about my birth
right,
control.
Right.
Which is beyond me because I'm like, okay, you know I'm taking birth control. I had to read up on my birth control. I was just reading the fine print.
Mm-hmm.
And it said, if you have had breast cancer, you cannot take this birth control.
That's crazy.
Which I had been taking for almost 45 days after my diagnosis,
mm-hmm.
almost 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, wow, nobody told me this.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to discover that myself.
That's
so
crazy.
If you don't take account, like you got to take your health into your own hands.
Yeah, I mean, as you definitely do. I agree with that. But I also caution you not to go too far down the rabbit hole in terms of Googling, because it can because what I don't want people to do is Google so much that they don't go to the doctor.
Yeah.
Sometimes people get afraid and they don't go back.
Yeah.
They don't go back for the results. They don't answer the calls, yeah, those kind of things. And then when they finally say this, because when it starts to exhibit itself within you,
yeah,
it's most of the time it's too late.
Yeah.
If you're far gone, yeah, you're far gone. What a lot of people don't know is that my brother was diagnosed with cancer.
Yeah.
6 months after my diagnosis, my brother was diagnosed with kidney cancer. And he found out incidental. They mm-hmm. call it incident. Most kidney cancer is found incidentally, meaning there's an incident that caused you to have to go to the doctor. Or if it's gotten so bad where you're feeling that pain, then it's far along. Yeah. But my brother, unfortunately, was mauled by his dog, mm-hmm, and they wanted to do an abdomen x-ray, which is how he found out he had kidney cancer. So
his dog saved his life.
It was serendipitous.
Being mauled by his dog
saved his life. It did. And the interesting thing is that for whatever, because we're dog lovers, like my whole life we've always had dogs. And the interesting thing is that my brother and this dog just never meshed. He bought the dog for Keisha, for his wife. And she loved the dog, and the dog loved my sister-in-law. And it was like he was very protective of my sister-in-law. But at the same time, a dog has to know my brother is the master. Mm-hmm. So he's supposed to honor that. This dog struggled with honoring that and almost acted like my sister-in-law was his wife. Yeah. It was very bizarre. 2021, he like bit my brother. And my brother, normally in a situation like that, you put the dog down. I know some people gonna feel some type of way, but that's what the way I grew up. If a dog turns on the master, they're considered no good, right? Mm-hmm. But most of the time today, people will give them to, find another home. You try to rehome them or something like that. But my sister-in-law just loved the dog, so my brother didn't even try to do anything like that. But that, what we have learned since then, is the dog probably smelled that sickness, because dogs have much more sensitive noses.
Yeah.
And even then, that's probably why him and that dog never connected, because that tumor was growing inside of him.
Wow.
So that's what we, have since learned. But finding my brother's diagnosis, finding out my brother, I didn't think I was going to make it. Like, before we found out, once we found out that it was, in fact, cancerous, not benign, I was like, not my brother. Like, I can't take that. Like, I can't. My brother has been like my husband.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, he's my bro-hub. That's why I call him bro-hub. So saying all that to say, and now, of course, he's had he's changed the way he eats. He's, he walks every day. Like, it's, but it was just, 2022 was a lot.
It was.
And to end it that way, it was a lot. But saying all that to say, yes, we have to take better care of ourselves. Yeah. And that at the same time, we have to get the lessons. Or you will keep getting them again and again and in different ways.
Gonna keep upping the ante.
So that's the message I like to leave with people, is that, how important it is to have a tribe, to, take care of yourselves and be supportive of people. Be there for people.
Yeah.
It can't always be about you.
Yeah.
Because you don't know when your turn is going to come. You know what I mean?
And it's coming.
Life on life, everybody. We don't get out of here without going through something.
Yep.
Like, that's just the way it is. So that's the message that I want people to understand. Like we said, get your mammograms. I strongly suggest Black women getting them earlier.
Yeah.
And, so if people feel like, well, why are you just talking to Black women? Because we Black.
That's right.
And I'm talking to everybody. Right. But as a Black woman, I have some things I got to stand on and put a little oomph on it. Okay.
And again, that statistic alone should mean something. Like, we have a 45% higher chance of dying from it. Cool. That should say, and so that got to speak to the hearts of us, because we're not doing what we're supposed to.
Well, we're not doing what we're supposed to do. And the healthcare system does not acknowledge us the same way they do our white counterparts.
Yeah.
That's the fact. That's why Charles Johnson has been on a whole campaign since he lost his wife in childbirth.
Yeah.
So I think we rounded that up pretty good.
I know. And I think you and I both, being on the other side, we're grateful.
Yes.
We are grateful to be here to share our stories with you. So I think that's the message. You have to prioritize you. Do what you need to do for you, because if you don't, you won't be good for anybody else. So stay tuned, y'all, for episode 3 of Mamas on the Move.
2.0.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.